of Lake Effect Now. I'm Mitch Teich. We're talking about the Civil War today on Lake Effect, 150 years to the day after the war's first battle, the Siege of Fort Sumter, concluded. Thousands of Wisconsinites can count Civil War veterans among their ancestors. Robert Grady is among them. Grady's interest in his own family history provided the spark for his recent historical novel. The Spur in the Sash is a Romeo and Juliet-esque love story between a Union sergeant and a Southern belle, set at the end of the Civil War in Tennessee. Robert Grady says the characters, the love story, and the titular items all really existed. In fact, he brought the Spur and the Sash into the Lake Effect Studios last fall. Grady dug into family lore and historical archives to track down the details of his ancestor, Union Sergeant George Van Norman, which ultimately inspired the book. And while the facts are all accurate, Grady used the license fiction allows to make up the dialogue and emotions of his characters to tell the story. Grady tells Lake Effect Stephanie Lecce how he came to learn of the Spur and the Sash.
My great-great-grandfather was a Yankee who was wounded in one of the last battles of the Civil War. He left behind a couple of artifacts that I happened to find in my father's dresser drawer when I was a little kid and discovered this spur, which, you know, looks like the kind of thing you'd wear in a boot when you're a cowboy, and what is known as a sash. It's sort of a ribbon-like piece of silk or, I'm not sure, satin or something. It's about 3 or 4 feet long with a generous fringe on it, kind of a blood red color. And I was told that it was given to my great-great-grandfather, some ancestor basically, in some war or other. You know, I was 9 years old, whatever history I knew of was whatever happened yesterday. It wasn't really, history wasn't really a thrill to a nine-year-old kid. So I looked at this and said, okay, that's really interesting, Dad. Thanks very much. And I left. And so it was always kind of in the back of my mind. I heard these stories about this guy from my grandparents, and I'd heard other stories from aunts and uncles and cousins about this famous Milwaukeean. He is someone who is somewhat famous in Wisconsin for his about the turn of the last century. He was friends with Captain Pabst, and he was business partner with William Plankton and O.F. Mason and all these other things. And as I grew older and became more interested in history and in general, I decided, you know, Dad, tell me the story. Who is this guy? I've heard about this George Van Norman, and he told me the story of the Spur and the Sash, and this is that story, and how George Van Norman came to have them.
Besides being your ancestor, who exactly was George Van Norman, and how is it that he came to get the Spur and the Sash? Tell us a little bit about the story behind that.
He was a Yankee wounded in one of the last battles of the Civil War at Nashville. And that happened in December of 64. And if you know the history of the Civil War ended in April of 65. So about 4 months before the end of the Civil War, he was wounded. The armies marched on. He was left behind to convalesce in a southern plantation where his assignment was to guard it against bushwhackers and deserters of both sides and whatever else was happening in the anarchy that was Middle Tennessee at that time. And he fell in love with the owner's daughter. And so it's kind of a Romeo and Juliet story but it takes place in Middle Tennessee in 1865, right at the end of the war and in the early stages of Reconstruction. There's all sorts of chaos in Middle Tennessee at that time. There are a lot of blacks who have been freed but have no place to go. They can't even read, so they can't look at road signs and tell what's north, what's south, which way is Memphis and which way is Knoxville, which way is north. They have no clue. And so they're running around basically directionless and don't know where to go. There are an awful lot of deserters and bushwhackers and highwaymen who are just stealing anything and everything. And it's basic chaos in Middle Tennessee. A lot of the Southerners at that time, at the end of the war, were discovering that there were ways to scare away the freedmen, the blacks. And so they put on hoods and they went out and burned things on their land. These were the precursors of the Ku Klux Klan, which was founded by a Tennessean named Nathan Bedford Forrest. So all of this was happening in Middle Tennessee, and that's what I sort of put into the novel.
Now, how did you find out all of this information about George Van Norman and what was happening in Tennessee toward the end of the Civil War?
I did a lot of research at the Madison's Wisconsin Historical Society, which, interestingly, is the second largest repository of Civil War memorabilia in the country after the Smithsonian. Yeah, I was surprised to learn that, but it does have a treasure trove of interesting memorabilia on Civil War. I was reading through a diary there written by someone from the 8th Wisconsin Regiment. It's called the Live Eagle Regiment for the symbol of their regiment, the eagle. And they had this diary of one of the members of the regiment. And as I was paging through it, I got to the third diary, which was 1863, and there it was. Van and I went down to the river to trade coffee and newspapers with the Johnnies. There was my great-great-grandfather's mentioned in this diary, and I read some letters by other members of the of his regiment. That really got me – that spurned the juices, if you will, got me started. I then drove down to Nashville and spent 2 weeks in different parts of Middle Tennessee, two different trips, about a week each, and found out where the plantation would have been and where the different – you know, what the highways were called then, what railroads existed then that don't exist now or that – didn't exist then that do exist now. And so I had to make sure that I was – the term they use is period. So you have to make sure that you are of the period.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about the history. Why was the Battle of Nashville, which kind of sets the stage for this whole story to take place, why was that so important?
The Battle of Nashville was one of the last battles of the Civil War. It was the Western Theater. General John Bell Hood was the Southern general who was opposed in after the Battle of Atlanta, where Sherman was marching through Georgia and basically cutting the South in two. Hood was assigned the job of stopping Sherman. Well, he had about 30,000 men, and Sherman had about 85,000 men. It was no contest. And so Hood said, I'm going to attack Sherman's rear, and I'm going to cut off his supplies so he can starve in the field. And so Nashville was the central focal point of the Union supply in the Western Theater. So his objective was to take Nashville and then roll through into Kentucky, recruit sympathizers, charge through the Cumberland Gap, and join up with Lee, who was pinned down by U.S. Grant at Petersburg, south of Richmond. So the whole idea was he was going to join up with Lee and defeat Grant, and then the war could have gone on for years if he had won at Nashville. So had he won at Nashville, had he defeated George Thomas, who was the Union general at Nashville, the war either could have gone on or more likely the North would have sued for peace and we would have had a divided nation today. The Battle of Nashville was probably the single most deciding victory for either side. If you think about Gettysburg, Gettysburg was pretty much of a standoff. If you think about Chancellorsville or even Manassas, first or second Bull Run, some of the other major battles of the Civil War, Bull Run or first Manassas, both the same, different whether you call it Manassas or Bull Run. It depends on whether you're from the North or South. Those battles typically weren't followed up, and so there was really no victory on either side. It was simply in the first Bull Run, of course, the Confederates, that was the first major battle of the Civil War, the Confederates won it, but they didn't follow up. They didn't march into Washington, which they pretty much could have done. Gettysburg, same thing. Lee just retired from the field. He wasn't completely defeated. He still had a huge army that just retired from the field. Not so at Nashville. When Hood attacked Thomas at Nashville, Thomas came out and surrounded him, wiped him out. I mean, literally, the Army of Tennessee ceased to exist. It was obliterated. And whatever remnants of that army that remained joined up either with other Confederate armies, joined other armies, but that particular Army of Tennessee literally ceased to exist, and Hood was relieved of his command. It was the single most one-sided victory of the war.
Now, after this battle, the book describes the real utter desperation and the destruction that was left in Middle Tennessee and in the South in general after the Union troops had routed and gone through. Describe just how bad was it? The Civil War was the last war that happened on our soil. Do you think we take for granted just what kind of destruction was left behind?
Other than perhaps Virginia, Tennessee suffered more than any other state in the Civil War. For a variety of reasons, Tennessee was sort of the supply depot for the Western Theater. In the Civil War, you had the Eastern Theater, which was pretty much Virginia and to some degree Pennsylvania and the Carolinas. But with Tennessee, it was the supply depot. So what you had were these northern bummers, they called them, scavengers who would go out into the countryside and steal all the horses and all the cattle and all the oxen and all the chickens and everything else and then either use them there in Tennessee and butcher them and eat them, if you will, or ship them south to Sherman so that he could proceed into Atlanta and eventually Savannah and cut the South in two. So Tennessee became sort of the supply depot, and everything that was grown there, all the crops and all the animals, were used for the Union cause. And they were basically stolen. You know, the Union officers, of course, would give the residents, here's a chit, or here's a statement saying that I've taken your 10 horses and all of your chickens. And those, of course, were worthless at the end of the war. The Southerners had been defeated, so they had no chance for compensation for their loss. And in many cases, there was no one to return to the farms from which these were taken anyway because they had been killed in the war. So there were all these abandoned farms. There was all this devastation. A lot of battles occurred in Tennessee, so there was that devastation. And plus, you had all of this foraging and whatnot. So particularly Middle Tennessee and to some degree Eastern Tennessee were just stripped of all of their values. And as a result, you had starving people and total chaos. The South, in particular in Nashville, was under military law. So here's martial law, and all of the petty grievances and the larcenies and the stealing and whatnot, the Union Army was in charge of enforcing the law, but they were basically too busy killing the sons and husbands to take care of the women and children who were left behind. It was a terrible chaos and anarchy that just ruled. So anybody and everybody was taking whatever they wanted.
Well, Robert Grady, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Robert Grady's first novel is The Spur and the Sash, published by Three Towers Press. He spoke with Stephanie Lecce last fall.